The scripture was read earlier, but we will read it again from Zephaniah 3, 14 to 18. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 816. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I often wonder something at Christmas. I often wonder that when we sing joy to the world, how many of us truly are singing with joy in our hearts, in our lives, and how many simply are going through the motions? Perhaps with hope, but also perhaps with our minds thinking of some difficulty, some sadness, or some chore we have to do. I suspect that for many Christians, on any given occasion, when that hymn, Joy to the World, is sung, there is a mixture of cautious hope and other thoughts. There's been a loss, or an unexpected medical diagnosis, or worry about bills, or some other disconcerting distraction. And the line from the carol that best fits our feelings, that best fits our hope, is, No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. And in our minds happens to be whatever curse is bothering us at the moment or is threatening our joy and our peace. During the time of Zephaniah, people wondered similar things. It's amazing. You mean this stuff is not just about then, but actually relevant for today? With difficulties of living in times of war, times of invasion, economic hardships and questions, social unrest. Joy seemed to be a pipe dream or a far-off hope. Why, it even seemed that God was at least far off sometimes. Or perhaps some thought unconcerned with the plight of the poor and the oppressed. In fact, the well-to-do of the very people of God sometimes caused suffering among those who were less fortunate, even among themselves. Or at least, if they didn't cause their suffering, they overlooked the suffering and went on their ways. It is into this situation that we come to the words of Zephaniah. Words where Zephaniah speaks, which these words should bring joy to the faithful and the faith-filled among the people. Bless you. Yet chapter 3 begins with a woe. The word means woe or alas. For those who are arrogant in ruling, who use their position, who use their wealth to wield power that feathers their nests at the expense of the humble and the lowly, and who do this in defiance of God's command, love God and love neighbor. In fact, as we have said recently, to love God means to love neighbor. Zephaniah then turns, though, with a word of hope, and a word in which he hopes to bring joy to those who are faith-filled, those who are faith-filled in their hearts, and those who are faith-filled in their actions, the faithful remnant. He gives them a word of hope which should bring joy that says, you will be free to live honorably before God and with God in spite of all of these others. Now, scholars generally agree that the writer here is speaking of the Babylonian exile, which will take out the arrogant and eventually return a remnant. A remnant that is brought by God, but a remnant that is made up of those who are faithful to God in times of difficulty and hardship. They are the ones who ultimately will find joy. Which brings us to a consideration of the verses which were read earlier as part of the lighting of the candle of joy and just a few moments ago. In fact, verse 14 gives hope and should bring joy when the writer, the prophet, speaking on behalf of God, calls the beloved remnant the daughter of Zion. And calls upon that daughter of Zion to take in the importance of God's action on their behalf. She is called to shout aloud and, quote, be glad and rejoice, not just a little bit, but the text says rejoice with all of your heart. The word for shout is the same word that is used when people are on their way to the Temple Mount. It is a joyous raising of voices, a raising of voices not only with joy, but in anticipation of an experience with God. The Lord has taken away the punishment of the enemies, Zephaniah says. Though this looks to the return of the exiles, I think and would submit to you that it can be applied to all those things in life which make us fearful, which seek to steal our joy and our hope, which are enemies of that joy. To rejoice with all your heart involves being joy-filled within and from, not just feeling joyful, but the heart as the seat of the intellect, the place where you made your deepest decisions to also bring that joy with the mind. Knowing and trusting with the mind. For you see, feelings are fickle. Feelings come and go. But if we convince ourselves and are convinced by God with our minds that there is reason for hope and joy in faithful living, then we're living more than simply emotion. We're living from the depths of our being. It means to be conscious of what God has done and hold on to that, but also to be conscious of what God continues to do and what God can accomplish even in the face of our enemies, whether those enemies are armies, the arrogantly wealthy, misguided rulers, those who overwhelm people socially, or maybe internal issues within our own lives. The good and joyous news is that the Lord, the King of Israel, is with you, Zephaniah says. And in the Gospels, we find that this is the great news of Christmas. Jesus, Hebrew name Joshua, which means God saves. And this God who saves is the Lord with us. And that is to be the reason that we have for singing, and singing with joy even in the face of turmoil. The promise continues. He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. As a warrior king, A warrior king who provides protection, who provides life with him. Life that can be joy-filled even when the world seeks to destroy it. Yet, in reality, life is not always filled with happy songs, is it? Yet God promises that when we are faithful, He's not there. He's here. He is here with us to be present and loving, even when songs are silent and hearts are mournful. And in that we can find joy. And our joy doesn't come from our own sense of well-being. Our joy comes from Him and through Him in Jesus. The fulfillment of God's promise. The reason for joy.